Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast with your hosts, Salsa.
And Jenna.
And not Matt.
Yay! Yay! We have an even better not Matt
Best
than usual.
Best podcast ever.
Hi, I'm Jessa. I'm Jenna's daughter.
Yay! Woo!
And the crowd goes wild.
I hope.
For those of you who are regular listeners to the podcast, you will notice that Matt is not here. And if you are not a regular listener of the podcast, you might not realize this. But guess what? Somebody's not here.
Who?
Doesn't matter.
Oh, okay.
Because
they're not here.
Because if this is your first episode listening, then you don't really care about the guy who's
not
here.
Oh, I suppose. No, that makes sense.
Could care less. We're talking about somebody else
couldn't
who's
care
not
less?
Even here.
Couldn't care less.
Could not care less.
Wait. But that's not...
It's physically impossible to not care less. You know what else they can't do? Care less. They're unable to do both because they're feeling the exact correct amount of vitriol.
Ooh.
As they should be.
I approve wholeheartedly.
Because they have no idea what any of this means.
Exactly! We're still talking about another guy. But we do have booze in front of us.
Yay!
I don't, because that's illegal.
Also that.
Actually, technically, with me here, I could serve you booze as your
But I don't, because that's disgusting.
See, there you go.
Well, you don't know yet, because we are having Vale Double Espresso, 5 times distilled double espresso flavored vodka.
Ooh!
This was given to us by my mother-in-law.
Yay, mother-in-law!
So we have espresso vodka.
Ooh.
And I'm all about this. So what we have done is we have made a cocktail, and we have basically made a Black Russian using Ooh. Espresso vodka and Kahlua.
Yes.
Because caffeine.
Yeah.
Basically, this thing is black.
This is
black.
Yeah. It's discriminated against by Congress.
Oh my goodness! Yes.
Okay. Let's do this.
Oh, that smell though.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Oh.
There's a lot of coffee in there.
Yeah. Whew.
I'm for it.
We might need to hang out a little bit after the podcast, Jessa.
I can only assume that I would not like this because it is made up of 2 drinks that I do not enjoy, booze and coffee.
Ooh, yeah, that is. Just take a shot of that vodka.
Just the vodka.
Just a straight vodka, just to get the espresso. It is very, very espresso.
Mm. Mm. Oh my!
Now that,
okay. Well,
that my friend is a shot of coffee. Right.
Yeah.
There.
I'm in. Let's do this. We'll be podcasting till the wee hours at this point.
Oh, good lord! 2 a.m. We're just like, come on, let's go. What do we got to talk about?
Yeah.
Right.
What
do we have to talk about, Jenna?
I wanted to know what you did with your day first.
I went to work and then I went home.
Nothing else happened?
No.
Special appearances anywhere or anything?
Oh, now that you mention it, I almost forgot about that.
Oh.
I was this morning on a little old TV station known as WCCO in the Twin Cities here. Yeah. That's right. I was on TV.
Yay!
So, as you have heard me talk about on this podcast, if you are a regular listener, and if you're the first time here, now this is going to be new information for you. But this coming weekend is World Sword Swallowers Day. That is the 25th of February.
Man, they'll make a shitty Halloween day out of anything.
I know.
Now.
Yeah.
God.
And the purpose is to of the event. It was a Sword Swallowers Association International paired with Ripley's Believe It or Not to bring the event. And it's going to be basically a celebration of the people who are sword swallowers. Because it is a very rare art, and it is an extremely dangerous art. And the event is meant to dispel some of the myths surrounding sword swallowing and to educate the public. And to...
Like, in an increase awareness?
Yeah, it just... Awareness.
Is this like a PSA?
Kind of.
PSA, sword swallowers exist.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's... Honestly, that's part of it. is because it is such a rare thing. You know, you have an event or something like that, and you're like, we should hire entertainers. And they're like, well, we should hire a juggler or
a magician.
A magician or something like that.
Nobody, if you're really cool, fire artist.
Yeah, nobody thinks fire, you know, nobody thinks sword swallower right off the bat. And right. That means all of us sword swallowers are over here going, we need jobs too. and so this is kind of meant to remind people that we're there. And if you want a really, really awesome kick-ass party, maybe you want to hire us.
How do we get jobs? I know, let's make a national holiday.
Exactly! Now you're thinking like a stage performer.
Marketing.
The other thing is to educate people, you know, dispel some of the myths around sword swallowing. And it's meant to kind of commemorate the people that have been injured.
Oh, sure.
Through this and kind of, because there is a fund set up by SSAI to help injured people, you know, injured in the line of duty.
Yeah.
And it is also sword swallowers have actually made big contributions to the field of medicine. the first rigid.
Hey, Doc, is it okay if I shove this sword down my throat?
Well, no, actually, the rigid endoscope was developed with the assistance of a sword swallower. Some of the tests that they did with digestion is they actually took a metal tube full of holes and filled it with meat and had a sword swallower swallow it. And then after a while, they pulled it out and they saw how much it was digested. Things like that.
Oh my god.
Like, so just some of the medical discoveries that have been made literally were made through the assistance of sword swallowers. Sword swallowers were able to swallow neon tubes so it would illuminate people from the inside so that they could see, you know, things like that.
So like they became their own nightlight?
Kind of, but it allowed them to see under the skin.
Sure.
You know, a bit. Various things like that were done with the assistance of sword swallowers. So,
oh my god!
That's kind of really what this event is all about: is to tell people that we're here and that we
are really cool, really
cool stuff, and that your lives are better because we exist.
Wow!
I was on.
I have this weird feeling for you right now. I think it's respect, no, I don't.
To be fair, I was not involved personally.
Right, exactly.
Well, endoscope, so don't.
Okay. No, but you did show up on the news.
Yeah. So, but I mean, a lot of Florida men show up in the news too. It's not really respectful.
I believe you mean Florida man.
Florida man.
Yes.
He gets a lot of exposure.
Oh my god. I had contacted WCCO and said, hey, I'm a local sword swallower and I'll be doing this thing, and World Sword Swallowing Day is coming up and I would really like for people to know about it because that's kind of the whole point.
Right.
And they contacted me back and said, yes, we'd love to have you. And so I was on this morning in the mid-morning show.
Yay.
And it was a lot of fun. It actually really, really was.
Yeah.
It was not all what I was expecting.
Well, because you're always like, I'm going to do a show. And they're like, okay, so this thing's going to happen, this thing. And then...
Not quite, really? Because I knew they had actually said I was going to have 3 minutes.
Okay.
All right.
And...
Did you know they were going to talk through your 3 minutes?
Yes. No, absolutely. Okay. I knew that. And I knew they were going to interview me and stuff like that. But...
Kind of hard to be interviewed with a sword in your throat, isn't it?
I was going to have a sword down my throat for a full 3 minutes. Because I have seen movies before, I had certain ideas in my head about what everything was going to be like backstage.
Oh, sure.
Like, I expected that when I was going to get there, I was going to go up to the desk and be like, this is my name, and they were going to be like, oh, yes, sir, sign in. And then a little bit later, a producer with one of those little headsets was going to come by and be like, Brian, you know, please come this way. And they were going to take me to the green room where they were going to make sure that I had powder on my face to make sure I wasn't shiny, and they were going to get my microphone all set up, and then they were going to do, like, a pre-interview or something like that.
Sure.
And then they were going to kind of tell me where, you know, I was supposed to go and what I was supposed to do. And then they were going to help me kind of get things situated on the table, you know, so it looked pleasing and aesthetic and all this other stuff. And then I was going to go do my thing and it was going to be great. And that's not at all. So I showed up and there was a person at the counter at the reception desk who knew I was expected. And that was where all the similarities ended.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So they, after a little while, somebody came and got me.
Okay.
I don't know who they were or what their job was.
Intern.
Probably.
Yeah.
And he said, follow me. And I followed him. And he brought me to the green room. And he was like, here's the green room. And I was like, cool. And then he walked away.
Okay.
Huh.
And this is about 9.
Okay.
And I'm scheduled to be on at 9:40.
Right.
Okay. So about 9, I'm in the green room. And then at about 9:32,
oh,
I'm starting to go, about me over here? And it was about that point that the same guy shows back up and he's like, okay, follow me. And so I grab my gear and I follow him and we go into the studio. And he basically points at a table and goes, there's your table, go ahead and get set up. And he walks away.
Nah.
I was like, what?
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
They seem to trust you a lot.
Oh, yeah. They must have. It was like, this guy knows what he's doing.
Fuck to it. Be fair, it's a sword swallower.
Right.
I'm just going to fuck with that guy.
Right, but I had no idea what I was. And so, like, my whole arrangement on the table, I did that.
It was beautiful.
Because that was what I came up with on the spot. I expected there to be somebody whose job it was to make things look good.
Yeah.
Because every time you see the news or a morning show or something like that, and somebody's got some stuff to display, it's always on that table in that perfect tableau, that arranged just
right.
Everything aesthetically cascading down. And I was like, there's got to be somebody who's, you know,
who actually does
there's
that.
A producer around somewhere who helps out. And it was like,
or an
no.
intern.
No, not at all. It was me. Nice. I threw the shit on the table. And it looks good.
Have you ever thought about floral arrangements?
And then
now I'm imagining a vase full of swords instead of flowers.
So am I.
And a sprig of baby's breath.
But so I you know, they wheel my table out. And to its little, you know, marks on the floor. And I'm standing there. And nobody has said anything to me at this point. I'm just kind of like, I don't know where I'm supposed to stand. Or where I'm, like, I don't know if there's a spot I'm supposed to be standing at or anything like that. Nobody's really told me what to do.
Right.
And at one point, I look like they're cutting to commercial. And I look up at the monitor. And they're pulling away from the table, like, before they cut to commercial. And I'm standing right behind the table, like, it's a damn good thing I didn't have my finger up my nose or something at that point, because I was just, hi. But nobody's telling me anything. I'm just kind of standing there. So they cut to commercial right before me, and they thank the person they just got done talking to, and they walk over to me, and he's like, shakes my hand. He's like, you know, nice to meet you, everything like that. And he pulls out his phone, and he immediately starts, like, filming me. With his phone, and he's like, oh, I'm here with this guy, and then he like films the table really quick, and he was just doing a really quick video for Instagram.
Oh,
as you know, as the reporter,
right?
No,
Instagram, right?
Kind of that little nice little behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But again, he didn't say anything. He suddenly was just hitting play and talking, and I was standing there like, am I supposed to smile? So if you do see that Instagram, you may see me at the beginning going, what's going on? But that was fine. And then we came back from commercial. And honestly, from that point on, everything was back on, like, track.
as much of a track was left?
Well, I mean, everything came back to what my expectations were.
Sure.
You know, they had their introduction, and it was obvious that the producer of that segment had done their homework and had read the materials that I had sent them, because, like, all of my talking points were in the introduction.
Nice.
Like, and it was like, at that point, it was pure vanilla. It was just whatever they asked me, I could give an answer and be personable and
fun. Nice.
And,
yeah.
You know, and
woo!
And, you know, as soon as he started talking to me and stuff like that, cameras forgot they were there.
Right.
Know, type, just like we forget the microphones are here half the time. It just became I'm having.
I'm very keenly aware of this of this microphone right now.
But yeah, it was fun, and they asked me a couple interesting questions, and hopefully I was personable. I feel like
you actually looked professional. Yeah, having watched
the video afterwards, I felt like I was comfortable.
Nice.
Managed to sneak in a little reference to my wife being a fire eater.
I noticed that. I was super happy.
Nice.
Yeah, I like how, because Raiderly posted a copy of that, and there were a couple of comments that were like, oh my god, that's really cool. And one of our friends was like, yeah, okay, sword swallowing, whatever, but Brian, what the fuck? Who the hell is that guy?
Yeah, because they used my real name.
Oh yeah, what about those people who have not watched the show before?
So, yeah, Brian's my real name, and every so often I use it for official things. And
like
so,
getting checks written.
Exactly.
You know.
They introduced me as Brian Sterling, also known as Casimir the Hungry.
Yep.
And
nice.
There was more than one person on the internet freaking out about the fact that they called me Brian instead of Salsa. So yes, my real name is Brian, and every so often...
Now the world knows.
We've said it before.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a stinking amount of fun.
Yeah.
And we will try to get Matt to remember to put the video in the show notes. Yeah.
That guy.
I may just
have to.
I'll just post it on the AON Facebook. That's what I'm going to
do.
I'll post it on the AON Facebook. That way you can bypass that ass.
Nice.
Right? That guy.
Indeed. And then y'all can see my segment. And whoever named the segment also made me kind of happy.
Right?
What was it?
Like, on the WCCO website, the video is called, like, Tips for Sword Swallowing if you're into that sort of thing. Which, I read that and I went,
it's just, yeah, that's pleasing.
Like, yeah, that's
very pleasing.
I like that. I almost made one of the news people hork, which is always fun.
Personal point of pride there.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, that was honestly, it was a lot of fun. And they seemed super, super, super happy.
Yeah. I was honestly like, they treated it kind of like it's a normal thing.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't like, how weird is this guy or anything like that. Or even just like, because, yeah, they knew what they were talking about.
Yeah. It
wasn't like, well, let me ask you about this weird, bizarre thing you do. And they were like, okay, so this, and this.
It was very matter of fact.
Came and, very normal businessy. I appreciated that a lot, actually.
Absolutely. It felt that way. And like I said, one of the whole points to World Sword Swallowers Day is, like I said, this dispelling myths.
Yeah, it's to normalize.
And educating people. And so coming out and making a big stink about it, or being super performance-y about it. Ladies and gentlemen!
Hey, I swallow swords for a living. Yeah.
Woo!
Would have just kind of killed that
right
feel.
Yep.
This is a thing that we want to get out and spread the word about. You know, even though this is a 4,000-year-old art, people don't know about this, and we want to educate you about this is a thing. So,
yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Like I said, we'll post that video on Facebook. And, then I will be performing on Thursday in just a couple days here at Can-Can Wonderland again. And then Saturday I'll be in Wisconsin Dells.
Nice.
Doing the whole sword thing. And hopefully the weather holds, because it looks like we've been
Have fun with that.
But we'll be doing the whole meet and greet big swallow at the Ripley's Believe It or Not, and then we'll be going to the Showboat Saloon across the street, and we will be doing some it sounds like I and one of the sword swallowers from Chicago, Gigi Deluxe.
Oh.
She and I, it sounds like, are going to kind of do a sideshow jam.
Nice.
She's going to have her fire stuff, and
nice.
My fire stuff, and she's gonna have I guess she does like bed and nail stuff too, and blackhead stuff. So we're gonna kind of just
you can do some juggling, and
we're gonna do basically an impromptu sideshow.
And then she's gonna pull a rabbit out of a hat. Yeah. Wait.
So that'll be a lot of fun, and that'll be later in the evening. I think we're slated for 7 o'clock there. So my week is going to be very, very heavy in that hat.
In that magic hat.
I will be wearing the Sword Swallower hat a lot this week.
Yeah, well done.
I didn't know there was a specific hat for that.
I think it's a cabbie hat.
Metaphor. Oh my god!
What's a metaphor?
Jesus Christ!
Well, it's for using. Never mind.
But just putting on a different hat. I'm going to put on my Fearless hat now.
What?
That does not mean that you should forget about the Polar Plunge.
No.
Because that is coming up real quick.
I donated.
Yes, Jenna did. Jenna gave us money.
I did? Because I want to see these fuckers jump.
For those of us who are not in the know,
is the
Polar Plunge?
I'm going to get to that.
I thought it would be a nice segue. I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. Don't be sorry.
Really don't.
Don't be sorry.
For those of you who don't know, because that's where we just segued apparently. The Polar Plunge is something that we crazy Minnesotans do in the winter.
Some of us.
Yeah. The stupid ones. So you take a lake, and it's the winter, so it's covered in ice. And there's a good foot of ice on there. So a lot of people, what they like to do is they go out there with the shack, and then they take a drill, and they drill a hole in the ice, and they go fishing. And it's fucking cold, and it's stupid.
Wait, the Polar Plunge is this weekend?
This is next weekend, the 4th.
Okay.
And then they get bored, and they say, you know what? Instead of just dropping a lure into the water, how about we cut a big fucking hole and jump our entire bodies in there? So they did, and that became the Polar Plunge. And so now what we do is, with your donation, all of your money goes to the Special Olympics, and that is a very, very good cause.
Nice.
So why wouldn't you do that?
Right.
But if we raise enough money, you get to basically force one of us to jump in a frozen lake.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And here's the thing. I've done this a couple years now, and this is something really that you need to understand. Jumping into the frozen lake is not as bad as you'd think.
Can we put a don't try this at home on this before you go any farther?
Unless you live in Minnesota. Yeah.
It's actually because the air is sub-zero. But in order for that water to be still water, it's above zero.
Oh, sure.
The water is actually above 32 degrees Fahrenheit. So you jump in the water and it's not that bad. And then you come out of the water.
Oh, God.
And now you're in freezing air and you're dripping wet.
Oh, God.
And that's when it hits you.
Yeah, I believe it.
And that's the part that hurts.
Out of the water. I don't want to come out of the water.
So, yeah, it's as soon as you come out of the water, that instantly just freezes on you. It just freezes. Frozen water.
Yeah, that sounds like hell to me.
It's bitter and
I don't know. There are people that are into making other people do that sort of stuff. Yeah. So if you are, you can donate and also see people do that kind of stuff.
At that point, it's basically a sprint to get to the hot tub.
Yeah. I believe it.
But yeah, it's you jump in and then you're fucking cold and you have made money for the Special Olympics, which is again a very good cause, and it's tax deductible. So
ooh.
You should definitely go follow the link on our Facebook page. It's plungemn.org. Do a search for Fearless. Give money to the whole team because we all need to make our minimum, otherwise we can't jump.
Now, there's a couple of people that have made the minimum.
A couple of people
right?
have made their minimum, so they can jump. They have
how
no
many are left?
Stress. I believe one of us is real close.
Okay.
And then there's a couple of us who have a ways to go yet.
Yeah.
So if you're the kind of person who is usually hanging back, go ahead and get your donations in. Do it now. Do it now.
Donate now.
Do it. What have you been up to?
So. My daughter took me to see King Lear last Thursday.
We went to the Guthrie through this there's this school program called Project Success. And basically what they do is they will come into the classroom. I go to Southwest, by the way. It's a pretty cool school. Cool people there. But so Project Success, they come into the classroom and they basically teach you about life. Like, what exactly is a team? How do you do teamwork? What is a college? How do you apartment? Like, life.
Balancing just a checkbook. Paying taxes.
Yeah, actually. All that sort of stuff that isn't generally taught by schools. And that's super friggin' cool. They come, like, once a month, like, into the classroom, and it's a really neat experience. There's some fun activities, but, like, that's mostly, like, freshman and sophomore years. Junior and senior years are when they start focusing on, okay, how do I pick a college? How am I gonna pay for stuff after school? Mm-hmm. Like, that sort of stuff.
Man, I wish we had had adulting classes when I went to high school. How do I adult?
But one of the other things that they do is they provide up to 4, I believe, free tickets for students that go to the school to see various shows, stage plays out in the community. And so one of the ones recently currently, I think their run is still going, and because one of the guys that works there is like, I'm going to see it like this week, and I'm like, you should, it's really good. By the way, see King Lear at the Guthrie. That shit was really good. But so basically,
are you trying to tell me that a show at the Guthrie is good?
Right. I mean I was like, generally I don't go to many of them because that requires like effort and being like, yeah, like even if you're not paying for the tickets, getting there. Although they do provide free transportation and babysitting service. Overall, it's a
Project
really
success
fucking cool
incredible.
Program. Yeah. Oh my god,
that sounds really good. I wish we had something like that.
Right.
And so we looked at the thing, and it was like King Lear. Yeah, okay. At the Guthrie. Oh shit!
Right.
Well, if I have to.
No, right. This is for education.
Right.
It's important learning.
Oh yeah. No.
Yeah. No,
I mean, and it is.
And
yeah.
Oh my god, that space is really cool.
Oh my god.
Which theater were you in?
Proscenium, I think. Okay. Not the oh my god big one, and not the black box, but the Proscenium off to the side.
Yeah. They had like things coming out of the floor and then go down and take the body off, and they had like these hallways coming in on the sides. It's a really neat space. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, they're Proscenium.
And they used it very well.
Yeah, they did. Oh my god, their technical aspects mm-hmm. were almost as good, if not better.
Really good. Yeah.
There was one scene because they didn't do a lot of like. There were some shifting elements to it, you know, mm-hmm. like your table and chairs at the party or whatever, things like that. But a lot of the scenes, like, it was, you know, lighting that set the stage. And one of them was just a shaft of light that went diagonally across the stage that represented...
Yeah.
It basically represented a hallway. Huh. And it was brilliantly done.
Yeah.
It was so good. Yeah, and the costuming was kind of like
a
late 30s,
yeah, 40s, somewhere kind of, in there.
Yeah, somewhere. So somewhere between the dub-dubs.
Okay.
I'm okay.
I mean, yes, but...
But
makes
sense
to me. I got it.
And my abs. I don't want to spoil it for anybody that's going to go see King Lear.
In case you don't know how King Lear ends.
No, there is a staging element that they had in there that was like the director did a real good job.
Yeah.
Every character in there was played really well.
I was rooting for the bad guy for a while. I was like, man, that guy's cool.
Right?
Like
everybody was a person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the acting for those people were spot fucking on. The evil sisters were just evil. I wasn't as enamored on Cordelia.
No.
Um, She's a little quiet and a little mousy, and I know that that's how a lot of directors direct her, so...
I liked her.
It was cool. I feel like she could be a louder character in general, but that's my own personal direction.
Right, I think.
So, but yeah, I'm going to spoil this. So if you're planning to see King Lear, skip forward like 2 minutes.
Hey, maybe you could put that in the show. Oh, wait.
Awkward. So here, the scene where they're gouging out the eyes of...
Oh, my God.
What's his face? I can't remember. Starts with a G. I'm having the brain hit.
I don't remember any... Yeah.
All right, anyway.
The Rockhester. What?
Yes. I don't remember.
He's the father of the guy that ran away and the guy that's stabbing everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is... It exactly. Anyway, so when they go to do the eye gouge scene, they have a lovely little 40s style bar. And the first eye is taken out with a stirring spoon. The second eye is not taken out by the Duke, but by the Duke's wife with the heel of her shoe.
Wow.
And it is gruesome.
The squibs are incredible, by the way. God. Oh my god.
So anyway, it was just oof.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like I just stage and she like climbed on top of him and just jammed this shoe in his face. I'm like,
yeah.
Oh my god. As a fight choreographer, I thought everything was choreographed just fantastically.
Right.
There are certain things I would have wanted to have done differently, but I'm also not hired.
That's the curse of being a director.
I know. I'm also not hired at the Cut 3, so I don't know what that says about the choreography. Well, the choreography itself was fine. I think implementation, I would have implemented it differently, but I don't think that made it wrong. So.
The fights were fights.
Yeah, they were. But, yeah.
It was a good show. It was...
Highly recommend.
Yeah. The Guthrie puts on good shows.
I know.
Who would have guessed?
Oh, it's God. Amazing.
Oh, that space.
Let me think. I've seen two shows at the Thrust and one show at the Proscenium.
Oh, I lied. It was the Thrust, not the Proscenium. I switched my words around.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the Thrust.
The stage, the Thrust is Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Oh my God, that bold backdrop.
Well, it's got the backdrop, but they have like front and center of the Thrust. They've got a big circular elevator, and then like in the back left corner is it drops away and it's stairs, and then they've got like rails that they can swing things in it on and off from the wings.
They didn't do a lot of that in this one. I didn't notice them.
They've got cabling that...
The elevators were used. Both the front and the back elevators were used quite a bit.
The front one's circular and the back one's square, I think. And
they used like three other trap doors too. That entire stage opens up into a transformer or something.
I saw Midsummer Night's Dream
at
the Thrust, and they had like an entire piano just like it was on the stage, and then it went up and disappeared into the rafters.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, like a big fucking grand piano, and just went up and up.
The piano tuner for that must be so pissed.
You,
every single day. Goddamn motherfucking asshole.
Yeah, you gotta imagine at that point, there's always some techie sitting in the back biting their nails as the piano hangs suspended in the air.
But it's true. That Thrust has so many hidden nooks and crannies and trapdoors.
It's incredible.
I've been able to be under the Thrust once.
And
that's just a fucking...
I hate you. I hate you so much.
You're jealous, Mom.
I also hate. God.
Yeah, the Guthrie's got
So, we Guthrie'd. We went to the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever go to a clam bar before and eat some oysters?
No,
we're cheap.
I don't like seafood.
Mm. Yeah.
It's the only place I've been to in the Twin Cities that you can order, instead of just ordering oysters, they have a wall of like seven different kinds.
Jeez.
Damn.
Because
I thought oyster just came in oyster.
No, because based on like where they're from and stuff like that,
yeah.
Will be have more of a saline.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
That
makes sense.
But like where they were raised makes a big difference. Like
absolutely. So
just because of the way they have to adapt.
Coffee beans.
Very much so.
Oh.
And so like
yeah.
you
now I want to grind some oysters up and brew some.
I don't think you do.
I need to roast them first.
But what they actually do is you can talk to the bartender and just be, you know, you can ask about the different kinds of oysters, and this one has more of a saltiness to it, and this one has more of a smokiness.
Right.
To it. It's almost like talking about scotches. But, oysters. Huh. But then
or like cheeses.
Exactly.
So now we've compared oysters to cheeses, scotch, and coffee.
Exactly. but then you decide upon which oysters you want, and then you get your cocktail paired to the like oyster flavor.
Oh
wow!
That is classy.
The Guthrie is a fucking place.
Yeah. Wow!
If you want a fucking black tie date night, go to the Guthrie. Yeah.
I will say one thing that kind of threw me was when we went for intermission, and there was like
that intermission was the fastest intermission I've ever seen at the theater, specifically the Guthrie. Like I've been to a few, and it's usually like 20 minutes, and I'm 15, pretty. Yeah.
We ordered a hot chocolate, made a hot chocolate, and then by the time it was like,
I swear it was only
before it was cool. It was like, oh, it's time to go.
Yeah.
I guess they didn't have a lot of changes they needed to make.
Yeah, I guess. It was real quick.
Either that or they were running a little late and they wanted
to
get things back on.
That's what I imagine it was, but yeah. it was still a little disappointing because I'm like, I can't drink this hot chocolate because it is too hot. It was disappointing because I was like, I'm going to have some hot chocolate. That sounds really nice right about now.
Nope.
Then I didn't get any.
Theater experience ruined!
You were at the Guthrie. It wasn't ruined.
1 star.
Would not bang again.
Yeah, so it sounds like it had kind of what's the word I'm looking for? They had tried to update it to the, 30s?
Yeah, 40s. around there-ish.
Okay.
I'm not horribly good at my dress for that era.
Did they change anything to reflect that?
No, none of the speech.
Okay.
Yeah, none of the speech. It was only like costuming, props, things like that. Okay. They didn't. It was entirely Shakespeare's words.
I also did notice one thing about the costuming, which which I found amusing, was that all the sisters, every single scene they came back on, they were in a different dress.
Oh yeah.
Makes sense.
Like yeah. I mean, it makes sense because time passes, but they were more, like, those dresses became more and more evil as the show went on.
Right.
Huh.
It was pretty fantastic.
Interesting.
Like, by the end of it, they were in furs.
Right.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Because, as we all know, furs are evil.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or at least Cruella de Vil. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that sounds like a lot of fun. Are they still going, or are they going to be going?
Going another couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. So that sounds like a glowing endorsement. Do not order the hot chocolate.
Well, only if the intermission is like 10 minutes, because you won't be able to drink it.
They won't know until it's actually starting. So just to be safe.
Get a vodka cranberry.
Yeah. And let that cool down. No, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was fantastic. Also, the guy that played Quark from Deep Space Nine was the fool. And
he did a really good job. Oh my goodness.
I can't remember his name.
Jean Aubert Trulet or something.
I do want to say, like, I did not watch a performance of King Lear before then. And when the fool got stabbed, I was I was actually just whoa.
I was thinking of a different.
Yeah.
Armin Shimon.
I mean, spoilers. Oh,
yeah.
Who was spoilers. I thinking of?
I was thinking of
Rene Aubert.
Anyway, you keep thinking about that. But yeah, no, he was there. It was incredible. It was an incredible performance.
Yeah.
And again, everybody was incredible.
Right.
It was real well done.
Especially because Edgar, who was the guy that ran away, was actually being played by an understudy who had originally had a different part.
Oh, okay.
Who had originally played one of the other kids. Yeah, no.
I was thinking of the guy who played Odo.
Oh, okay.
René Auberjonnet.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, no, not that guy. The short dude.
Mm-hmm. No, I just had my wrong Deep Space Nine character.
Yeah, no, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Cool.
You can rush tickets most of the time, too.
And yeah.
Not all of the seats were filled for this performance.
Yep.
So a Wednesday, like a Thursday night is a really good time to rush.
So it sounds like if you're looking for highbrow theater, you should definitely go to the Guthrie and see some Shakespeare.
Well, I don't think there's anything new in that statement.
Nope. And if you are looking for a little bit more...
Low?
How you say...
Low?
Sideshow.
Sideshow.
You can come and watch me solo solos.
But there's a lowbrow event coming up.
Is there a lowbrow event coming up?
There is. Like, really low. Like,
very, very,
exceptionally
very
low. Like, oh my God, like, I can't believe they even put this shit on a stage low.
The fact that anybody allows it to continue in any way capacity is...
Or would want to be involved with it. Really.
Oh, we're talking about vilification tennis. Took me a while.
I was getting gray hair over here.
Yeah, you mean that amateur show on... Oh, God, it's Friday.
Yes, it is.
Why do you think I asked you to be on the podcast today, sweets?
So I could plug things?
Yeah.
I'm going to be there, and Jenna, I don't think...
Well, she kind of...
Because that's a conflict of interest.
Well, so. I have to be there. Yeah.
She can't judge, but she has
to... No, but I, she can't plug it, because that's a conflict of interest, I think, so you have to do it.
I'm going to plug it. On Friday, the...
The something...
24th. On Friday, the 24th of February...
At 10 p.m.
At 10 p.m.
She's going to hit me.
At the Bryan Lake Bowl.
She learned it from watching me.
On the 24th of February, Friday, at the Bryan Lake Bowl at 10 p.m.
Yes!
Is the Vilification Tennis amateur show.
Got it. What?
Where me and seven other people audition for Vil.
Seven other people and I.
Fuck you. Me and seven other people audition for Vilification Tennis on the stage doing Vilification Tennis.
Yeah.
You guys are kind of jerks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, say it
slow. Yeah.
It's the cast looks really promising.
Oh my God.
Mean, the other competition sucks. I don't know what the. No, we're all really cool people.
No, it's gonna be hard.
Yeah,
it's gonna be
it's gonna be real tough. But
I'm not allowed to judge this one, and I'm kind of okay with that.
I wonder why, because I am going to be in it.
What?
And in fact, if you like Jenna. I don't know, you might like me, you might not, it's...
I mean, most of these people have barely met you, however. They've heard stories.
Oh, boy. I'm gonna be in that, and you all should cheer me on, because my jokes are funny, I hope.
Yeah!
There you go, way to sell that confidence.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's training been like for you? Talk about that process.
I've had some really great coaches. They have given me a lot of feedback. I feel like I improved very greatly since the time I was like, hey, wouldn't it be funny if I auditioned for Vilification Tennis?
Okay, now talk about Molly and not me.
I was.
Oh, shit.
I mean, I was talking about both you and Molly,
oh.
And Nick by extension.
Yeah, he's been
because you three have been pretty much working as a group coaching me and Leo. Mm-hmm.
Leo Alberti, by the way, who is the son of another current vilifier.
Battle of the Generate. Wait, no, it's we're the same generation.
Battle of the Degenerates.
Wow.
Actually, I think technically you both fall into different generations because Bob is that fucking
talking
old.
About my generation.
Like, it would be really funny if it was me and Leo and we called up you and Bob Alberti.
Oh, God, yeah.
There's a vet round at the end. Yep. We call up people that we know who already do the show. It's exciting.
I really want that to happen.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's going to be real fun, real funny. You all should come see it on February 24th, Friday, at the Bryant Lake Bowl at 10 p.m. Be yeah. there or be a square.
Got it in one.
Sweet. Good job.
That is one thing that I have auditioned for. What? I have also auditioned for two other things recently.
What?
Oh, one of them I've just been told I cannot talk about by my lawyer person.
Yes, advocate.
What?
I'm the advocate.
That's okay, you still have one.
I still have two things to plug.
We'll go with that one. Talk about things.
So I recently auditioned for an improv group, a teen-only improv group. It's called the Official Ostrich Committee. We have a really fun format where we find a common everyday problem, and we meet as a world decision club to do something to fix that.
Ooh.
Like, I don't know. What's a problem you guys have?
I'm out of toilet
herpes.
Paper.
I'm going to go with out of toilet paper. So then, we'll make a law that you will be sent to jail if you do not have toilet paper in your house.
Ooh.
Or something crazy, like... Sure. We'll just ban pooping. Yeah, it gets pretty crazy as we try to solve the problems that thing that we have done has now created. We also...
Oh, so it's just kind of a cascading stupidity type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
it's a pretty fun format.
The other format we do is called Improviana Jones, where we do an Indiana...
I don't care, I like the name.
Where we do an Indiana Jones film... on stage as completely improvised. It is also pretty fun. Overall, it's pretty fun. Currently, I do not know if we are doing any shows recently, but we do have a Facebook page, the Official Ostrich Committee, on Facebook. And that should be updated, with show times, if we have shows, when we have shows.
I do know of one thing that you guys have coming up in over a month.
Oh yeah, that whole the Fearless fundraiser thing.
Yeah, what is that called again? I don't know. I don't know much about it. So.
We will be performing at Die Laughing in some time slot that my mother has given to us.
Die Laughing, what's that?
Die Laughing is a Fearless fundraiser. Why the fuck am I talking about this?
Because you're the guest.
You brought it up. You're going to be performing there. Tell us about it.
I don't know a whole lot about it, even though my mom is kind of scheduling everything. no, it is a...
I try to keep my home life and my professional life separate. It's not working out so well.
We will be performing at Die Laughing, which is the Fearless fundraiser, where there are a bunch of different acts... There's, I remember last year there was some mime, there was improv, there was,
Stand-up,
yep. You guys all did some stupid crap over the course of the weekend.
That's kind of our thing.
It is kind of our thing.
Right?
Because apparently if people donate money, then you do stupid crap.
Yeah.
So those...
See, again, it's kind of our thing.
Yeah, but yeah, and you can watch it without paying, but it would be nice if you could give money to the people that run Fearless Comedy so that we can present things to you like Vilification Tennis.
Nope. Vilification Tennis isn't a Fearless thing.
Oh.
Common misconception.
Oh. Right? Well, not Vilification Tennis. Fuck right. those guys.
Yeah, nobody likes those guys.
Like, man, if only there were some podcasts that I knew about that... Fearless Comedy endorsed.
Is partnered with.
No.
There's that. We also have I mean, Fearless Comedy does also do shows.
Yes.
In fact, we have a show going on right now. Like, whoa! Not a minute. Like, no. We're in the middle of the run. Oh. But yeah, this weekend, Friday and Saturday, the 24th and 25th, is the Fearless Harbinger show.
Whoa.
So, yeah, it's the last weekend. So if you haven't seen it, you should see it. In fact, I know of a couple of my friends that are, that have, P.S., purchased tickets in advance for both of these.
Ooh.
They're going to start their evening out at the Mounds Theater.
Ooh.
On Eastside St. Paul. They're going to see the Harbinger show. And then they're going to real quick drive all the way over to Uptown to get to the Bryant Lake Bowl by 10 p.m. to see Vilification Tennis.
Man, that sure does sound like a great schedule that people could follow.
It does. And I do have two friends that are doing that, so it'll be very exciting.
Ooh.
But yeah, so it's Die Laughing is to be able to fund shows like that.
Yep.
The official Ostrich Committee, I can say what time it is because I scheduled it. P.S. I wanna note, I booked the official Ostrich Committee
before I was in it.
Before I knew Jessa was even gonna audition for it. So this is not a conflict of interest. This just happened to be where the chips fell. Official Ostrich Committee will be performing at Die Laughing Sunday, April 2nd from 10 to 10:30 a.m. Ding!
Yeah, if it was nepotism, they'd get a better time slot.
Right. Seriously.
Yeah.
7 p.m. Really? We're going to have some teenagers improvise at 7 p.m.? Yes! Shut it! What? They're good. I swear.
But yeah, you guys should.
Time, really?
You guys should watch the whole thing. It's funny.
Oh my
it's,
god!
It's
yeah. Nobody should watch the whole thing.
You can try.
I did try.
Yeah,
it went poorly. I almost killed Matt. He probably deserved it, but still not a good idea. Like I think I was on like what hour 35?
Yeah, how, or something. Yeah. How would you do a podcast without Matt? Oh wait.
I see what you did there.
Ah, okay. Joke.
I approve.
Yeah, look us up on Facebook.
Right.
Official Ostrich Committee on Facebook. We're pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then you will know when we do shows. And that's exciting because improv is hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, we approve.
And the last thing I need to plug, I am not actually involved in. My school, Southwest High School, is currently working on the spring musical, the big musical, the spotlight musical, the big fancy extravagant musical. We are doing Sweet Charity, which is about prostitution, I believe,
something like that,
and how women are powered through it, like how they are strong because of it, like basically, it paints prostitution in a positive light, which is a cool thing.
It's, honestly, Southwest always impresses me with the types of shows that they do. Like, Ragtime last year was incredible.
It was not last year. It was 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
You forget because I wasn't in any shows last year.
It was incredible, though. Like, and the productions that you guys put on. Up the Downstairs, that was fantastic.
Up the Down Staircase is the fall...
Yeah,
or not fall, the...
December, it was December.
It's based on a Fellini screenplay.
That's the winter straight play.
Yeah.
That is not a musical.
And not just for straight people.
No.
No.
No, it is... Yeah. Anybody can go to that.
But
In fact, I would have recommended you... Was I on during that?
Yes.
I feel like I plugged it.
I know I did several times. I'm kind of a proud mom. I don't know if you knew this. What? Shut your whore mouth. That was to Salsa, not to Jessa. Just wanted to make that clear.
Yeah, there was an awkward silence there.
Yeah. So anyway, Southwest High School.
But Southwest High School. I believe they're in March. I'm the. Searching for the date right now because I can do that.
What? The internet?
Yeah, funny that.
I don't get it. Yeah, you keep looking for that. I'll keep talking about how incredible Southwest is.
Okay.
Oh, you got it?
Yep. At Southwest High School, which has an address, but I don't know it off the top of my head. You can look it up. We have the internet in this day and age. It will be on the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th, on the, okay, I'm going to try this over again because things are... On the 16th, 17th, and 18th at 7 p.m.
Like a Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
Yep. The 19th at 2 p.m.
Sunday.
And then the 23rd, 24th, and 25th at 7. And the 26th at 2 again.
Nice.
I could have phrased that better, but...
2 weekends.
Yeah, 2 weekends. 8 shows. You should come see it. I'm going to see it, because our school always puts on some friggin' fantastic musicals.
Seriously, I brag about Southwest. Their stuff is always, like... A lot of their stuff is better than some of the professional theater I've seen in the cities. So,
no comment.
What?
But yeah, we do a lot of interesting stuff. And Miss Berg, theater teacher, one of two Miss Bergs in the building, which is always an interesting time at conferences, I can imagine. Yeah, there's Miss Berg, the math teacher, and Miss Berg, the theater teacher. But yes, Miss Berg picks these plays like the year before. And so Ragtime, which was the musical I was in freshman year, was picked before all of the Black Lives Matter stuff. And at the time that we put it on, it was really, like, powerful for what was going on at the time.
Right.
A lot of the shows that they do are just really, like, provocative. But yeah, you should go see Sweet Charity because it is... Gonna be really good.
Cool. Gonna be good.
All right. We're gonna go ahead and take a break.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back with our usual nonsense
outro stuff
and
outro.
Maybe not the usual outro stuff, but we're gonna have outro nonsense.
Did we not get a fast five?
We're gonna find out.
Oh my god.
We'll find out in a bit.
Man, if only.
If you guys like what you heard, come visit us on aonpodcast.com and leave a comment. Or you can send us an individual email at salsa, Matt, or Jenna at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
I'm still not Matt.
And we don't have a Fast Five.
What?
Because Matt's in Disneyland and never sent us one because he's a punk-ass bitch.
Nobody likes that guy.
Nobody likes that, guy even more now. So if you sent in a Fast Five and really, really hoping that maybe, this time they'd finally get around to it.
No. We can make our own.
Nope, too late for that.
Aww. Okay.
What we're going to do instead is we're going to do our kind of... other outro stuff.
Plugs. I mean, we already plugged everything.
Stuff. Well, but you have something else to plug now.
Oh.
Oh. What?
Yeah, that thing that I was not allowed to talk about. We got an email that's saying, "Hey, you can talk about it."
Yeah.
like actually before I had wanted to start talking about it, but we didn't check our email until the break because we're professionals.
Well, let's not go that far.
Because I'm a professional.
That's fair.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, no. Story checks out.
That says we can talk about it. You're the one that brought it up this time.
Oh, I suppose I'm a part of this, too. Yeah, no, Jessa had 2 auditions on one day.
It was exciting.
And so, yeah, the first one she talked about the teen improv group. The other audition was for Human Combat Chess.
I got into both.
Woo!
God damn.
I know, right? Apparently it was a good day for auditions.
Taking after your mother, just getting involved in
slowly she's going to take over all of my stuff. And I'm just going to be like an old granny on the sidelines, like, yeah, that's my daughter. Woo!
Well, but you're...
I'm also a part of the Human Combat Chess thing. So, yeah. Jess and I are both involved with Human Combat Chess this year.
Still can't believe you didn't accept me on your team.
Hey, shut up.
I'm on the Celts. We're going to kick some ass.
Shut it. You know what? You know what? You start with the Celts. You build your way up to the Phoenix, motherfucker.
Wow, okay. I wasn't expecting a karate kid from my mom.
You weren't expecting?
I know. It's a little weird.
It's like she's never met me before. So, yeah, we'll be doing that Human Combat Chess thing. You can see us both doing Human Combat Chess this year.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
It's like a twofer.
So, yeah. Yeah, I'm super excited for chess this year.
Ooh.
Like, a lot. So, yeah, that's that. What else is there to plug? I don't even know. God, if only I had something to wake my brain up.
I don't know.
Yeah. Something with flavor.
Like,
pina coladas and getting caught in the rain?
Something that you brew.
Pina coladas.
Something brewed.
Like a tea?
Like a beer.
Like a beer, yeah. You should go to Febtoberfest.
Oh!
That is not where I thought that was going, but yeah, okay.
Right?
On March 4th is Febtoberfest. It is at the P&A Hall in Minneapolis. There's going to be well over 100 gallons of homemade beer. And you can go and have some.
Hooray for accidental segues.
And you're over 21 years old.
Yep.
Of course. There's going to be much, much beer. I believe that Burning Brothers may be making an appearance there.
So I like those guys.
If you are gluten-free, you can still drink. There may be a couple other special guests. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about that, though. So you should definitely go and see. See that, and
the suspense is killing me.
Have plenty of stuff to drink, but there is definitely something else that is brewed besides beer.
Tea.
That's what I thought we were originally talking about.
And it is, in fact, the theme of our cocktails today.
Whoa!
Oh,
I know, callback. Right? Whoa!
And that would be coffee.
Woo!
Yay, coffee!
Wait, I don't like coffee. Why did I cheer?
Because even though you may not like coffee. You should still cheer for these guys.
On coffee.
Oh, good point.
That's fair.
You all know at this point that we are, in fact, talking about true.
Well, unless they're new.
Unless they're new. But they're not.
That's
new.
Been a recurring
After
theme this podcast.
To us talk for an hour, they don't feel new anymore.
part of the family.
That would be True Stone Coffee.
True Stone Coffee.
Yep.
What do they do?
They make coffee, and they make it here in the Twin Cities, and they roast it fresh. And
nice.
You order some on their website, and you get a bag of beans with your name on it and a roasted date. And you can see right on the bag that this was roasted, like, the day before you get it. You really, really can't find fresher coffee anywhere else, and it gets delivered right to your door. And then you grind that up, and then you make it.
I have not had it myself, but I can confirm that my mother talks about it a lot. She's like,
not just on the podcast.
Yeah, she's like, I'm gonna brew up some True Stone, and then she does, and then she's like, man, this is some good coffee.
Every time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the other thing that you sometimes drink from them is the cold brews.
Oh my god, I love their cold press.
Cold press, which comes in 12-ounce bottles that you can throw in your backpack and have as a little mid-morning snack. When you
I love snacking on coffee.
Yep.
Wait.
I do.
I love snacking
on coffee. I do, as a matter of fact. It's really nice to when it gets to be 11 o'clock or something like that, and I'm at work, and I need a little bit of coffee. It's really, really nice to
little pick-you-up.
You know where else you can get True Stone is at Can Can Wonderland, where I will be performing on Thursday. So this shit all ties together. It's like this,
my goodness.
It's like this symbiotic thing. But you should probably go to their website, which is True Stone
Coffee,
I believe it was.
Yeah.
We always forget
that.
You
I just Googled TrueStone and there it is. Why would I memorize?
TrueStoneCoffee.com.
Yeah.
And you can get all sorts of different roasts. You can get light roasts and dark roasts and Ethiopian blends and...
I'm a personal fan of the Sumatra.
You like just coffee from all over the place. And these guys do not just take whatever bean they have and do the exact same thing to it. They take the unique flavor profile of that bean from that location and they roast it
like
slightly differently to bring out whatever flavors
it like an oyster.
Like
an oyster. Yeah. Whoa, callback.
I know. Woo.
Full of those.
And it really, really, honestly, truly, we're not just saying this, is the best coffee that I've ever had.
Yeah.
And you should absolutely get in on that.
Can they do that cheaply?
They can do that cheaply, in fact. They can get 10% off of their order.
What?
Yeah, I know, right?
Is there some kind of code?
There is a promo code. If they enter apropos into the...
How do you spell that?
Well, I mean, if they don't know how to spell it, what are they doing listening to this podcast?
How did you get here?
How did you get here? Why are you still here is more really the question. If you're Jenna, then you enter
apropos
into that promo field, and you still get 10% off, even though you're a bad pronunciator.
Don't judge me.
Too late.
Don't judge other people that pronounce it. Apropos.
I don't think you can judge her pronouncing it apropos if you're going to say pronouncier.
A pronouncier. That's a person who pronounces. I just made that up.
That's exactly my point.
That's a word now. I mean, Shakespeare.
Living language and all that, words. I guess. Yeah.
So there. Nope, it's totally a word now.
All right.
You're going to find that in the next Oxford Dictionary right next to selfie.
I'm telling you.
Pronunciere.
I'm telling you. Look for it. It's coming.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. That, I think, does it for us. We are going to get out of your ear holes now and come back to you next week where we were going to have more nonsense to talk about. We'll see what happens.
I probably won't be here.
No.
But we will definitely report on how well you have done.
Woo!
In your show.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, yeah, oh no. God. If I get in, you'll hear it from my mother. If I don't get in, you'll probably hear it from my mother.
Goddamn motherfucker didn't take my girl. But anyway, we are gonna take off now. Thank you so very, very much for listening to the show.
You guys are cool. I hope. Hey.
She was talking about the listeners.
Oh, the
us.
Listeners.
Oh, no! I absolutely was not talking about you.
Okay, well, the world is right again. Anyway, that does it for us. Jenna is cackling over there, and so I'm just going to go ahead and say, kill Whitey.
Eat the fucking cake.
Yep.
Eat the fucking cake.
Jokes.
And kill Whitey.
Rather jokey jokes.
Kill Whitey. Fuck. Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Is this too laugh? Your name's Brian, seriously?